live on air, presented by Ger Sweeney.
Good evening and welcome. It's nice to have your company this evening for another edition of Live on Air. I do hope you can stay with me for the next hour or thereabouts. Now, what's coming up on the programme this evening? Well, the brand new season for Gaelic football has kicked off here in Spain, and I went along to the first training session of the Costa Gaels last week, and you can hear about that coming up very shortly on the programme. There is an association in Ireland called the Association of Spanish-Speaking Parents of Ireland, otherwise known as ASPI. The Taoiseach told me all about it during the week, and over the last number of months you've heard me mention a man by the name of Jose Antonio Sierra. He is the Spanish-Irish cultural correspondent or consultant, and you finally get to meet him on the programme today. We'll have some good music in there as well, some other bits and pieces, and as always, if you would like to contact the programme, just to give you the contact details, you can email the programme at any stage, GER@talkradioeurope.com. That is the email address to get in touch with us, GER@talkradioeurope.com. Going to start the programme today with a couple of famous Irish birthdays that are coming up during the week, and some of them will provide the music on the programme today as well. A lady by the name of Siobhan Fahy. If you grew up in the 80s, you may remember a band called Bananarama. Well, Siobhan Fahy was a member of that, and she was born in Dunshaughlin in County Meath 60 years ago today. Marion Keyes, the author, was born in Limerick 65 years ago. And Johnny Fingers from the Boomtown Rats, whom you hear every week when I do this. That's Johnny Fingers. That's him from the Boomtown Rats. He celebrates his 63rd birthday today. So happy birthday to Johnny Fingers. Wednesday, the 12th, is the birthday of a former Taoiseach, Bertie Ahern, who turns 67 this week, and a well-known County Cork man who played rugby for Ireland and for Munster, Donal Lenehan. He's 59 years old on the same day, Wednesday this week, the 12th. Brendan O'Carroll, otherwise known to many people as Mrs. Brown, was born 63 years ago on the 15th of September. So next Saturday, we would mark the birthday of Brendan O'Carroll. And finally, on Sunday, next Sunday is the 16th, former Taoiseach Charles J. Haughey was born in Castlebar in County Mayo back in 1925. The wonderful Ronnie Drew from the Dubliners was born in 1934. And a lady whose music we had on the programme not so long ago, a lady by the name of Maura O'Connell from Ennis in County Clare originally. Well, Maura turns 60 next Sunday as well. There'll be music again on the programme from Maura today. So there you go. So that's what's coming up. Let's start with one of those birthday people, shall we? Unfortunately, this man is no longer with us. His name is Ronnie Drew. He was one of the Dubliners, but here he is right now with a gorgeous song. It's called Leaving Nancy. Welcome to the programme. It is Live on Air on Talk Radio Europe, your voice in Spain.
In comes the train and the whole platform shakes, stops with a shudder and a screaming of brakes. The parting has come and my weary soul aches. I'm leaving my Nancy, oh. But you stand there so calmly, determined. You talk of the weather and events of the day, and your eyes tell me all that your tongue doesn't say. Goodbye, my Nancy, oh, and come a little closer, put your head upon my shoulder. My suitcase is lifted and stowed on the train, and a thousand regrets whirl around in my brain. The ache in my heart is a black sea of pain. I'm leaving my Nancy, oh. But you stand there beside me, so lovely to see. The grip of your hand is an unspoken plea. You're not fooling yourself, and you're not fooling me. Goodbye, my Nancy, oh, and come a little closer. closer. Put your head upon my shoulder and let me hold you one last time before the whistle blows. But our time has run out and the whistle has blown. Here I must leave you standing alone. We had so little time, and now the time's gone. Goodbye, my Nancy, oh. And as the train starts gently to roll, and as I lean out to wave and to call, I see the first tears trickle and fall. Goodbye, my Nancy, oh. And come a little closer. Put your head upon my shoulder and let me hold you one last time before whistle blows, and let me hold you one last time before the whistle blows.
A wonderful song from Ronnie Drew, and what a wonderful entertainer he was as well. A beautiful song called Leaving Nancy, and we play that because we mark the birth date of Ronnie, born in 1934, next Sunday, the 16th of September. Go back to me in just a minute, because we're going to be giving a little memory. If you happen to have grown up in Ireland watching TV, and there was very little of it around in the 60s and the 70s particularly, don't go anywhere.
Ger Sweeney presenting Live on Era. Live on Era, presented by Ger Sweeney.
And that would be me. Thank you for tuning our way this evening. If you grew up in the late 60s, 70s, and indeed up as far as 1982, and watching television, children's television particularly in Ireland, Wonderly Wagon. Ah, yes, I knew that would bring a smile to many people's faces. And I'm talking about Wonderly Wagon. I'm going to play a little clip from it as well in just a moment, because a kind of a sad occasion happened during the week when it was announced that the Lambert Theatre Company was going to cease to exist. Unfortunately, they just can't make it work anymore. And that was set up by Eugene Lambert, who played O'Brien in Wonderly Wagon. And all of the puppets, like Judge and Mr. Crow and Sneaky Snake, they were all puppets that were controlled by Eugene Lambert and indeed the other people from the Lambert Puppet Theatre. And if you recall Wonderly Wagon, you will remember that Eugene, as I said, was O'Brien. A man by the name of Bill Golding used to be Rory. Nora O'Mahony was the godmother. You'll hear a little clip of her voice in this. Fran Dempsey and Frank Kelly, that you will remember from Father Ted as well. Yeah, Father Jack, he appeared in it as well. And it was absolutely lovely. It was very innocent. And let's take a listen to a little clip of Wonderly Wagon featuring Judge, Mr. Crow, O'Brien, and Godmother.
It's 4 o'clock.
Thank you, Mr. Crow. That's quite enough.
And what have we got here then? Oh, snakes and ladders.
You can't beat me now, Judge. You're too far behind. All I need is 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 to win.
Don't speak too soon, O'Brien.
You're counting your chickens before they're hatched.
Here we go. Snakes alive, snakes alive. All I need is 5. Oh, 3.
Oh.
Not enough. A hen, though, a 3. Oh, no.
All the way down the huge big snake.
Nearly back to the very beginning. I told you you were counting your chickens before they were hatched.
Just a little memory for you, bringing you back to the 1970s in Ireland. A little clip of Wonderly Wagon, and what a wonderful programme it was as well.
Live on Era, presented by Ger Sweeney.
You may have heard on a number of occasions me mention the name Jose Antonio Sierra, and each time I do so, I refer to the fact that Jose Antonio is our Spanish-Irish cultural correspondent or consultant on the programme. and you've been wondering when you're going to meet him, and you're going to meet him right now, because I'm sitting at the beach in Malaga with Jose Antonio, and we're shooting the breeze, so to speak, and you can probably hear it behind us. Jose Antonio, nice to have you on the programme.
Thank you very much. Hola, buenos días.
Thank you for your work so far. Tell me a little bit, if you would, about yourself and your time in Ireland.
Well, the first thing that I would like to say, I wish we could have this interview in Sandy Mount Green in Dublin. That is the first thing there.
Right, okay.
I would love it. I would love it. The first time that when I went to Ireland was in 1968. I was working as a teacher of Spanish teacher in Brighton. And I applied to several universities to work as a language assistant. And I was offered, I think, as I remember, it was Glasgow, Manchester, and Trinity College. Immediately, when I was accepted in Trinity College to work as a language assistant in the Spanish department, I was delighted and I accepted.
1968, it was a very different Ireland from what it is 50 years on. So tell me about the time you spent there in the 60s, 70s, 80s.
Well, the first thing is when I went there, we were less than 200 Hispanians. And nowadays, probably there are 15,000 Hispanians living there. Another thing that it's a big change. I have been there several times, last year. Irish friends who asked me, Antonio, what do you think now of Dublin? And I said, well, to me, there are too many foreigners. You should get rid of half of them. And that was my answer. So it was completely different. Nowadays, Ireland is a multicultural society, is full of business people around. I was surprised to see that anybody who is working in an office nowadays has something for opening the doors of the office.
Oh, yes.
No, at that period, everybody would go knock at the door. That was the end.
You're talking about the little key cards that we swipe as we go in various places. Yeah. Now, when you got there, you obviously saw that there was no established cultural links between Spain and Ireland. Am I correct?
Yes, I noticed that Italy, Germany, and France have a cultural institute. So that was in 1970, with the help of the Language Center of Ireland. They gave me a room there, free, because I was teaching Spanish there part-time, to start what is called a documentation center, in such a way that Irish people could go there and learn more about Spain at that period from every point of view. Also started offering Spanish classes there. That was as a result of that, I presented the project to the Spanish government through the Spanish embassy to opening an institute in Dublin that was called the Spanish Cultural Institute. That was in 58 Northumberland Road. And the Spanish government agreed and they offered me the possibility of starting the project, which I did, and I was there until 1994.
What did you set about doing? What was the ultimate goal when setting up the institute?
Well, the aim was, I was maybe an idealist. I thought that the Spanish culture should go to every county in Ireland. That is why reach agreement with all the public libraries, all the county librarians, to open in as many libraries as possible, a section on Spain. Then, when I stopped being director of the Spanish Institute, we have 100 sections of Spain all around Ireland.
It's called the Cervantes Institute now, if I'm not mistaken. And what work does the Institute or the Cervantes Institute now carry out?
Well, in 1991, the Spanish government established the Instituto Cervantes, and all the Spanish institutes in other countries changed their name and became Cervantes. The work done was more or less the same. May I say that nowadays, is because they have more money. So they have more money. I don't think it's from Sandy Mount, this place.
No. They're coming to take us away. That's okay.
Well,
that's,
it could be, but it's not.
That's the beauty of interviewing outside. You get all sorts of noises with
it. Yeah, well, it's pleasant.
Tell me how you spent your time in Ireland then, getting to know the country and getting to know the people. What, you know, where did you travel to or people that you might have met?
The first thing is that I never felt a foreigner in Ireland, in spite of my accent. Sometimes when the Irish people ask me whether you come from, I used to say, well, I am from County Kerry or just the south. I just felt at home, and still I feel at home when I go back there. And I am not saying that, Ger, because you are an Irish person. You know very well that I love Ireland, and I feel really a lot for Ireland. I visit all counties of Ireland, all of them, including in the north. I know the north also very well. When I was at Trinity College, I offered my services to several publications in Spain to be a press correspondent, which I worked as a press correspondent until I became appointed director of the Spanish Institute. So I used to travel to Northern Ireland in 1968 until 1973 very often to see what was happening there. And I wrote many articles about what was happening there. I became very much involved in, from every point of view. I usually used to go to pubs in several parts of Dublin, and where I knew many people and chat with them. I am talking about Irish people.
Did you learn to speak in Irish?
Yes. I started in 1970. I was at that period in a house where we have different apartments, and one of them was a teacher of Irish, and was during a year I was doing an exchange. I was teaching him in Spanish and learning Irish. And also I went very often with my good and late friend George Campbell, painter, to many parties where practically everybody spoke Irish. So they had to translate for me what they were saying, because, to be honest with you, now, after so many years, I have forgotten what I learned.
A lot of Irish people come to Spain now. The numbers increase on an annual basis. And with the cost of flights and with internet bookings and all sorts of things like that, it's much easier. So was there a small market for Spain and for learning Spanish at the time when you went to Dublin?
Well, yes, we have thousands of Irish people who wanted to learn Spanish. The only thing is that when I arrived there, the first language study, and still it is, was French, and the second German. After it was the Spanish, as far as I know, that is nowadays is the opposite. Only in technical schools, at that period was called regional technical colleges, was German more taught. And not Spanish. Yes, Spanish has become very important language in Ireland, and also because the influence of so many Spaniards who live there now and Latin American people. So many of them, they teach Spanish and they give classes in private tuition. So I would say that Spanish is nowadays the second language, foreign language study in Ireland.
This program, Live on Air, the Irish program, or Spain's Irish program, because it is the only Irish radio program in Spain. Your input into this, why did you want to get involved and help me to develop this?
Yeah, I think you forgot something very important. It's the only program, but it's the best, believe me. The best. The best. Well, because I always felt when I came back to Spain that, as you know, that I regret many times because I miss a lot. Dublin and Sandy Mount Green and all that area. And because I always felt Ireland is not known in Spain, and the connections and the link connections, not only the historical connections, because everybody speaks about the Spanish Armada. By the way, I opened an exhibition about the Spanish Armada in 1971 in Sligo,
Yes.
And it's because I think that the two countries, they have... forgetting about politicians, what they will say, is so many historical links, so many links between the people, Irish people and Spanish people, that is not known, then I think that your program could contribute to, first of all, the people to learn about these links between Ireland and Spain, and also to promote those links. That is why I wanted to help you. Beside the point that if I didn't lie to you when I saw you the first time, forget about it.
Good job. I was on my best behaviour then, what?
In relation to Ireland, when are you heading back?
I would love to go, if possible, in this month at the end. I know that the question of the charter flights are becoming more and more difficult. I hope that this is not going to change. But I have the ticket anyway.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I bought the ticket a long time ago.
Okay.
So I will promote the program in Ireland, by the way.
Thank you very much.
There's always a comedian. Well, Jose Antonio Sierra, it's been lovely talking to you. I thank you on a weekly basis on the program for your involvement and your guidance and your contribution, and I continue to do that. And thank you for taking me under your wing. And I suppose together, let's make this a wonderful Spanish-Irish program on Talk Radio Europe.
Don't forget, all the listeners, is the only program and the best, believe me, the best.
Thank you very much, and we'll talk to you again.
Gracias, thank you.
Switch and you let your right, you push in that button and up. mumbles in his coffee and he suddenly roars. It's the Red Jack Cheetah! And we've been...
There you go, wonderful music from the Boomtown Rats. They appear regularly on the programme, don't they, with the intro and so on. Johnny Fingers celebrating his birthday today, and we thought we'd take that track, Rat Trap, as a little tribute to Johnny Fingers. Going to take a very quick break, come back to me just after that for something sporting. I was at the very first training session of the new season for the Costigales.
Ger Sweeney presenting Live on Era. Ger Sweeney presenting Live on Era.
It's the first day of training for the Costigales. I wanted to meet a few people that haven't been here before, and I'm with Brian Motherway, who's from Dublin. Brian, how are you?
I'm doing great, thanks very much. The standard of football here is fantastic, and the players are doing really well.
So what have you been told about Costigales?
Nothing.
So that's why you're actually here?
That's why we're here, yeah. Nothing. I just know Justin organised the whole thing, and fair play to him.
Brian, tell me about yourself. You're from Dublin, so what else do we need to know?
I worked for Guinness's. And I'm retired. That was interesting. I played football for Naborogue back in the day. I'm 35 years of age, so I'm still a young pup. I'm only joking, but...
I was just going to say, your waist isn't even that.
That's not very nice.
No, tell me what you're doing in this neck of the woods.
Just having a good time and just retired. And we just said, you know what? We just enjoy a bit of sunshine. So we're living over in Estepona. We're here about 3 weeks now at this stage. So we're just meeting some Irish people. And we met some really nice people, and so that's it.
And these two girls, are they with you?
They're with me, yeah, my adopted daughters.
Now, they're no more with him now than the man on the moon, but seeing as we've mentioned, we may as well say, Grainne, I know for sure. How are you, Grainne? Tell me who you are and where you're from.
I'm Grainne, and I'm originally from County Down, Breshever in County Down.
And you live in this neck of the woods now?
Yes, I live in Estepona.
Are you looking at me?
As well. Yeah, you're looking at him as much to say, am I doing the right thing? So is there a connection, or what's your connection with the Costigales?
No, there's no connection. This is the first time I've ever met any of them, so...
And what brought you here today?
Again, I heard they were very, very good, and I wanted to get a ladies team together, so Justin said he might get the ladies team together.
Are you a footballer?
I was back in the day. I wouldn't say I would be now, but I can pick it up again.
You could be coaxed out of retirement, could you?
Yes, I could be. Yeah.
All right. And beside you, who do we have?
Nicole.
And Nicole, where are you from?
I'm from County Antrim.
And again, what brings you down here?
Yes, I just decided to go down. I've never really been into GAA football, but I thought, why not? It's nice to meet other Irish people, do Irish things while we're living here.
And how long are you here?
This will be my second year in Estepona, fourth in total in Spain.
And what are you doing?
I'm a teacher. I work in an international school.
We might get you playing as well, yeah?
Maybe one day. I can't really see it happening, but you don't know. Who knows?
Martin is here with me from Estonia. Whereabouts are you from?
A city called Tartu.
And why are you here?
I'm working in La Gala de Mijas.
Had you known about Irish football or Gaelic football, or is this your first introduction to it?
That was my first introduction to it.
And who encouraged you to come along?
My workmate, Eddie.
And what do you think of it?
At first, it was quite hard, but when you know the rules, then it's getting easier. Okay.
And do you play soccer?
Yeah, I used to play soccer a lot.
Okay, so there's a big difference. You've got to get used to using your hands and passing the ball with your hands. So was that all right?
It takes time, but it was all right, yeah.
You're looking forward to the year ahead?
I'm not staying here for the season, unfortunately, but it was quite a nice experience. And
when you go back to Estonia, you might set up a GAA team there.
Actually, somebody told me that there is already a team like this in Estonia. Yeah, I didn't know that, but...
And where is it based?
In Tallinn.
Is that far from where you're going to be in Estonia?
Not really far.
So you never know, you could be playing for Tallinn.
Maybe.
Martin, thank you and the best of luck with your time here.
Thank you very much.
All right, the lads have taken a water break at the moment and Grant Patterson is here with me. Grant, you're from Edinburgh originally and you're living in Spain. You grew up here, you said?
I grew up here, yeah. I've been here since I was 7 years old.
You're one of the newbies here today. What got you interested in Irish football?
Justin did. He called me out on the electrical call out and he talked me into coming and since it's a contact sport, not like football anymore, then I thought it'd be a good crack.
So what do you know about Irish football or Gaelic football as we call it?
Not a lot at the present moment, but I'm learning slowly but surely.
Right. And what do you hope to do for the year with Costa Girls?
Well, hopefully playing a lot of tournaments and win a league.
Tell me about your life here.
My parents moved over here when I was 7 years old and straight into a Spanish school. And after that, finished some studies and worked offshore for 10 years and then set up my electrical company over here a few years back.
Now, this is Jake. Tell me where you're from, Jake.
Ireland.
And whereabouts in Ireland?
Belfast.
Okay, and do you play football?
Yeah.
With the Costa Girls?
Yeah.
Are you back to school now in Spain?
Yes.
And this man here beside me is living in Benavís. I remember you telling me when I was at the barbecue, isn't that right?
Mr. Mihal.
Yeah.
And your name is?
Mihal.
And Mihal, tell me, how are you getting on at school and are you enjoying the summer and everything?
He hates school.
Yeah. I hate school because they have to give me too much homework.
I wish that's the way it goes. And is the youth team back training yet?
Yeah, 2 weeks.
Well, we wish you a great season, all right?
Yeah, my dad's the new football manager.
Indeed he is. And before we meet Mihal's daddy, the brand new manager of Costa Gales, let's first hear from Phil, or Philip Conlon, who looked after the lads for the last number of years as he addresses them and introduces Kieran.
There's good numbers here today. There's got a few changes. There's a new management team coming in, which consists of Kieran and his backroom team. Personally, I'd just thank you for the last couple of years. We have a hell of a club here, lads, if we work at it. There's no doubt about that. We have the numbers, we have the quality. It's a case of repeating this twice a week for the next 6 months. If we do that, bring the same level of commitment to it, listen to what Kieran's saying, then we'll go places. It's very simple. So thanks again, lads. It's over to Kieran.
Right, lads, today is our first day back. Fair play for everyone to show up, and I hope to see these numbers consistently. Training, we're hopefully going to bring in another lad to do work on your fitness, and then I'll be working out the drills. Mark is going to be my assistant. I'm going to be working out who's playing and what drills we're going to be doing. Eddie's going to be hopefully helping us out with, you know, warm-ups, warm-downs and stuff like that. He's good at that. There will be training on Thursday, yes. Well, lads, look forward to a hard year of training. It'll be fun as well, but I'm not giving up my time and energy and effort. This is not. I'm not here just for the crack.
We're here to win.
I'm here to win. Yeah. The man said the last thing I'll do is make a team out of you.
The man you've just heard shouting and roaring all those orders is a man by the name of Kieran O'Hara. So, you're the manager this year. What have you got planned?
Unfortunately, I'm the manager, yeah.
How did you land that gig?
I didn't. I was voted in. It was forced upon me. I just kind of got told. Take the bibs. Here it is, guys. I kind of got voted in and was landed going, listen, Kieran, you're the manager, will you do it, kind of thing. So I said yeah, because I want to make some changes to last year.
Such as?
Well, if you don't train, you won't play. Right. End of story, no matter who you are. Some lads would wimp out of the Thursday night session because that's where the hard running is done and arrive on the Sunday for the football, so we'll be tackling things like that.
So what's ahead so for the Costa Gales, tournaments wise, competitions wise? Who are you going to play? Where are you going to play? How's it going to work out?
Well, we've got the usual Gibraltar, Seville. I don't think Malaga are failing the team this year. We'll be training hard and focused hard, and don't give away too many of our secrets, because I'm sure Gibraltar and Seville will be tuning in, you know, because no doubt we tune into them.
Is it Mark is going to be your right hand man? Yes. And you're bringing somebody else in? Yeah. And what's that going to do?
There's a chap called Glenn coming in, who is a personal trainer. Right. In San Pedro. He's going to come in and focus on the fitness of the lads and work them hard and focus on strength and stuff like that.
All right.
Where I'll be focusing on drills and skills and stuff like that, you know.
I'll be there for all the media press conferences. How's that?
Yeah, no problem at all.
Listen, Kieran, the best of luck with the Costa Gales for the year, and thanks for talking to me.
No problem. Take it easy.
Springtime, you know, is ringtime. Come dear,
Had her on the programme not so long ago, but that's Maura O'Connell, and we're playing Maura again today because she celebrates her birthday during the week. In fact, next Sunday the 16th, and we wish her a very happy 60th birthday in advance of that. Let's go for a very quick break. Come back to me just after that. I'll be talking to Letitia from ASPI, the Association of Spanish-Speaking Parents in Ireland.
Ger Sweeney presenting Live on Era. Ger Sweeney presenting Live on Era.
The more and more that I get involved with the programme and get the programme involved with connections between Spain and Ireland, I come across things that I never knew existed. And one of those things that I've come across recently is ASPI, A-S-P-I, which is the Association of Spanish-Speaking Parents in Ireland. And I'm joined on the phone right now by the chairperson of that. Her name is Letitia Medina, and she joins me from Dublin, I think. Letitia, how are you?
Yeah, fine, thanks. Yeah, that's right, from Dublin, yeah.
From Dublin. And Letitia, where are you from originally?
I'm from Madrid.
And the Association of Spanish-Speaking Parents doesn't limit itself to be any nationality as long as you speak Spanish.
Actually, we started as a small group of Spanish mothers in 2012. We're, I think, 12 founding members. And we're only Spanish. So at the beginning, it was called Association of Spanish Parents in Ireland, but then we just the next year we just thought it would be more, would be broader and wider, would be just better to have it called Spanish Speaking Parents, which includes everyone who speaks Spanish as a native language, but also at a very high level of command, also Irish people maybe living in Ireland and maybe after having been abroad in Spain or other countries for a long time, and they come back to Ireland and they would like to have their kids involved in this Spanish-speaking atmosphere.
When you started off with just 12 of you, what was the idea? Was it a support group?
Yeah, a support group. So our very first activity was a Spanish toddler group, the only one in Dublin or in Ireland for that matter, I think. So because when you are a mother, especially first-time mother, well, you really feel isolated. So you don't have many contacts socially, mm-hmm. and then you feel even more lonely abroad, I suppose, and if you don't you are not a native speaker, so the language is also a barrier for many people. So we wanted to have, our own group and mothers helping each other, but also having the element of the language to give this heritage to the children. So to sing in Spanish and having small children, toddlers, listening to the language as much as possible.
All right. And how did you gather traction? How did you develop the association?
Well, I suppose social media was very important. So mm-hmm. Facebook, Twitter, all that, and Google forums as well. We started, yeah, as a very small group, but then after 1 year, we were already 100 members. And so we have roughly 200 family members, which would mean 600 people, 700. But we also welcome non-members to some events. Mm-hmm. So I'd say we reach out to 1,000 people, maybe.
That's quite a significant number of people.
Yeah, it is. Yeah,
and I think. Leticia, can you tell me, do you know how many Spanish-speaking, like Latin Americans, there would be in Ireland at the minute, living there?
No, I can't tell you.
You don't?
Well, it's a tricky question because, well, we know exactly that around 10,000 Spaniards are registered at the Spanish embassy in Dublin. And there are many people who are not registered, so there are no official figures, I suppose. And then from the other countries, there would be also some Latin American people around here, but so I have no idea.
Right.
Sorry.
That's okay. And your organization, do you have members from outside of Dublin, other parts of Ireland?
Well, no, I have to say we started with that name because we wanted to include everyone and other groups, but it is difficult to set up groups outside. So it's mostly Dublin and surrounding.
Okay.
But from the counties, so County Meath, County Kildare, County Wicklow. So we have members from those counties as well.
Okay. And can you tell me your own story, how you ended up living in Dublin, coming from Madrid?
Well, just a coincidence, I suppose. Well, my husband found a job here. So we were living in China before we came here in 2006.
Right.
So he just dropped his job with a private company there. And we came here. He came here as a civil servant for an European agency.
Right.
So it was just a coincidence we're here and not in some other country.
And are you looking to be in Ireland for a long time or is it something?
Yeah. We're settled here as most or as nearly all of our members in the association. Most of the people are probably Spanish women married to Irish men.
Right.
And nowadays, in the last years, with the crisis, with the recession, we had more and more Spanish families coming to Ireland. And we also have Spanish, especially women, married to other foreigners.
Okay.
So Ireland has lots of foreigners nowadays. So we're all settled here. So and we have Irish children. Yeah,
no.
I our children feel more Irish than Spanish, I suppose.
Really? And is there a good link?
Yeah.
Is there a good link between Spain and your children?
Yes, but they are. But this is their home. So Ireland is their home. Not only my children. I'm just talking general for the other families in the association, because at the end of the day, well, they are living in Ireland, Spain, or other countries, just holiday country for them. So, and that's the idea behind the association. We knew that, so the children will become more Irish than we are and less Spanish. So it's very important for them to maintain also this other culture.
Okay,
the Spanish one. Yep.
You're obviously enjoying life in Ireland, are you?
Yeah. Apart from the weather, it's raining at this very moment. It's raining.
No surprise there.
Absolutely
no surprise there. And drawing parallels between living in Madrid, living in Spain, and living in Ireland.
Well, Ireland is a very small country compared to Spain, so you can see that. But Irish society is very familiar. People are very familiar to each other. So people are very nice in Ireland, but this sense of familiarity and people are connected to each other on a second degree. And you see that in LinkedIn, for example, everybody knows each other. And Spain is more anonymous because there are more millions of people living there. And Madrid is a big city. So you cannot compare Spain with Ireland, in my opinion. It's just different.
All right. In this age of equal opportunities, when I see Association of Spanish-Speaking Parents in Ireland, I think of both parents, mothers and fathers. But listening to you, are there more mothers involved in this than fathers?
Well, in this kind of association, I suppose it's very logical because maybe mothers have more time if they are not working or they are only working part-time.
Okay.
They are on a break, on a motherhood break. So yeah, so we'd have more. Well, our organizing team, we are around maybe 20 women, all women. Yeah.
Okay.
And yeah.
And the events then that you organize, talk me through, because I got to know about you because I introduced Jose Antonio Sierra at the beginning of the program to our listeners because I've been talking about him for a while. And it was Jose that sent the information to me about what you're doing in September. And this is how you and I are having a conversation. So can you talk us through some of the types of events that you do?
Yeah. So we have some fixed groups, like, for example, this Spanish toddler group. That's once a week, children between 0 and 5 years of age right. and with their mothers. So for the ones who are not in a creche or a primary school. And we also have a Spanish family group once a month in a library in Blanchardstown, not only Dublin city centre. We also have a Spanish junior book club right. for older children on Saturdays in Rathmines library. We also have a Spanish hiking club once a month, the last Sunday of the month. And well, we do different things. Maybe this year we are doing like gincanas, like a street quiz for children. And if they get it all the questions right, they will get a prize.
Right.
Like, for example, which color is the door of this particular house on that particular road? So people have to, children have to go there to have a look.
Okay.
So, and and we also have Christmas parties, and we want to celebrate something in October for this, the El Día de la Hispanidad. And cooking workshops, dancing workshops, also educational talks for parents, like talks on parenting.
Right.
Art and crafts, and everything that might come up. If somebody has an idea and they volunteer to do that, so we organize that. Yeah, in different parts of Dublin. Yeah.
Yeah, and I was just going to say that you base yourself in different areas at different times.
Yeah, with the hiking club, for example. Well, it's been, this is the seventh season since 2012. So we have been going also to other counties, like to the Midlands, County Leash. We've been there and County Carlow. So we tried to go beyond Dublin,
okay.
but it wasn't too successful, I must say. So nowadays we are more realistic and we stick to Dublin.
I suppose if you're going to go travelling with children, it takes a lot of preparation, a lot of packing, doesn't it? And a lot of time. Yeah, it does, of course. All right.
Maybe
you could start a group for Monday evenings to listen to Live on Era all together.
Yeah, thank you.
You might
we'll do that.
I think you will.
Thank you.
This must take up a lot of your time, does it, Letitia?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. I don't work, so I can devote myself to this and some other things I'm doing as well.
Very good. For the moment, would you just give us the information that you need to give us in relation to your social media? So maybe website address, Facebook, Twitter, anything like that that can help people to find you.
The website is www.aspi.ie. Mm-hmm. So ASPI.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but in general, so just Google Association of Spanish-Speaking Parents in Ireland, or even just Spanish and Ireland, it will come up very quickly. And on Facebook, it's also the same, ASPI and Association of Spanish-Speaking Parents in Ireland, and Twitter is the same. We also have a YouTube channel, again, Association of Spanish-Speaking Parents in Ireland.
Good, excellent stuff. Well, Letitia, we wish you well. You know that we're here, and if there's anything that we can do for you, you have our contact details. Just let us know, and we'll be happy to spread the word for you.
Yeah, thank you so much.
That was Letitia Medina, and Letitia is the chairperson of ASPI, the Association of Spanish-Speaking Parents in Ireland.
I suppose they could be true, all about love and what it can do to you. Highest risk of striking out, the risk of getting hurt, and still I have so much to learn.
These days it's hard to
better than boast of how I've grown. Anything is better than being alone.
Wonderful sound of one of the Undertones for many years. That is Fergal Sharkey from Derry and a song called A Good Heart. That is my lot for today. I hope you've enjoyed today's edition of Live on Era. Don't forget, as always, you can contact us at GERGER@talkradioeurope.com, the email address. Thank you to my guests on the programme. Thank you especially to Jose Antonio Sierra, our Spanish-Irish cultural correspondent or consultant on the programme. Thank you to my colleagues here at Talk Radio Europe for their constant support and their promotion of the programme throughout the week. But most of all, thank you for listening, and I do hope you'll join me again next week. If you've missed any of it or you'd like to tell your friends about it, there is a catch-up facility on our website, talkradioeurope.com. Just go to that, and in about 25 minutes' time, today's programme will be there. So until next Monday, from me, Ger Sweeney, have a super week. Look after yourselves and each other. Thank you for listening. Bye-bye now.